It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawksmith and Greg Pickle here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. We are looking through the early talking points of spring practice at Penn State, trying to sort out what's for real, what's not, what to expect, the quarterback situation, some of these other hot topics that have come up that we're starting to get our first early read on. The question is, are those reads right or wrong? I also wanted to get back into a couple of the spring practice items that you observed, Greg, and walk through those a little bit. The big thing for me, we didn't get to this in the previous segment, was Rashid Walker spotted at left tackle. We don't know the context of that, though, right? We don't know whether he was he's been going back and forth, if he's been spending time at right tackle, if he's the choice at left tackle.
Yeah.
What do we know about the legitimacy of just that spot? Let's put aside for a second the idea of Rashid Walker, who will be a redshirt freshman, the idea of him starting. Where is he going to play? Do we know anything more about that other than the brief glimpses we've seen of him at left tackle?
Yeah, I mean, I think they would prefer in a perfect world for Rashid Walker to be the left tackle and Will Fries to be the right tackle. I think that they're probably cross-training them this spring and getting Walker work at both. Look, Walker looks like he has all the talent in the world, but his step looks slow at this last. And again, look, where we watch 10 reps of, you know, that practice probably had 100 live reps, and the six before that had 100. So we're talking 15 of 600 reps, and this might be hyperbole, but it's probably close. So, but the point is, don't take too much away from it. But there, you can see the talent is there. You can also see that he's probably not game ready yet, which is not a shock for a redshirt freshman, and it really is first spring. So he has a lot of work to do, but I think they would prefer him to be at left and Will Fries to be at right. It doesn't mean they won't flip them in the spring to get them both some work. They may do that during summer camp too, but I think in the perfect world, that's how things would shake out.
So Walker, we saw him on the video that Sean Spencer tweeted out in praise of Yetur Gross-Matos, because it was a phenomenal looking play, and I think that it was more than anything reason to get excited about Gross-Matos and the potential he has as a true junior to have a special year.
It was kind of unfair, wasn't it?
It was brutally unfair for a kid who probably isn't spending all his time at left tackle.
Right.
Probably he spent a year working against, some good players. But I think this is not that it's a sink or swim kind of thing necessarily, but working against guys like this is what's going to get Rashid Walker to a point where he is ready. How are you going to be ready for elite pass rushers unless you are going one-on-one with those guys?
Correct.
And you're going to get embarrassed from time to time. There's no shame in that, especially when the guy across from you is one of the most disruptive defensive ends in all of America. So I didn't really look at that clip. You know, we shared it at Penn Live. A lot of people shared it as be worried about Rashid Walker. It's a, oh, look how unbelievable this is. And oh, by the way, Rashid Walker's working at left tackle.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's the right way to look at it for sure. And I think that ultimately, Rashid Walker will be benefited by experiences like that. So we'll see. But yeah, it's an interesting thing for Penn State, because I feel 99.99% sure that Mike Miranda is going to be the starter at guard. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So at this point, it just comes down to which tackle starts, Wigan or Walker. It looks like it's going to be Walker at this point in time. And then beyond that, do you play him at left or right tackle? That's what they have to decide. Like I said, I think left would be the priority, but we'll see if they can feel comfortable with that by August.
That 99.99% certainty is just from practice observation?
I think that, you know, when I'm trying to think if it was James Franklin or somebody else. Oh, no, it was Dwight Gault talking during the weightlifting event that Penn State had. He basically said, yeah, we only need to replace one starter on the offensive line. And, you know, we heard James Franklin, I believe he even did it during spring practice when it was his opening statement, talking about the listed number of returning starters versus what they feel like they have returning. Yeah. And that's a nod to Tariq Castro Fields. I also think it's a nod to Mike Miranda. Keep in mind, he started that one game last year when he had to. Michael Bennett was out, so they moved McGovern to center and Miranda slotted in. So to me, I mean, I think if they could have started six offensive linemen, he would have been the sixth. Miranda would have been the sixth guy. So I think that that's as pending can be, as long as there's not health issues.
So that kind of changes. And I think if we were going back and had to forecast, Mike Miranda would be a really, really solid bet.
Right.
And I do think, you know, as much as they are talking up C.J. Thorpe, maybe almost too deliberately talking up C.J. Thorpe as having elite potential, which I do think is true and fair. But consistency and steady play are going to be a more of a hallmark of what Mike Miranda brings to the table.
Yeah.
When you know for sure, when James Franklin is publicly saying that C.J. Thorpe is having a hard time pass blocking, that is a hard thing to get past, and you know it's going to require a lot of improvement. And when you're talking about a competition for a starting job against a guy who's pretty mature and pretty beyond his years,
right?
It's going to be hard to overcome that. And so to me, that wouldn't be much of a surprise at all.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I think ultimately, especially because of the unfortunate situation with Juice Scruggs and the accident that forced him to be out for spring practice. I think that's what they said, right? They said it was an accident of some sort or some kind of off-field incident.
For Scruggs?
Yeah.
Yeah, the car accident.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, obviously that's an unfortunate situation, and there would have been a competition there between him and Miranda and I guess maybe Thorpe. But I don't know. I guess the more I think about it with C.J. Thorpe, I guess the more I can't quite understand why are they forcing him to be an offensive lineman. I know they're going to need someone to replace Steven Gonzalez next year, and, you know, obviously they need some numbers on that side of the ball, but I don't know. You know, you look at the defensive tackle pitcher, and it's still, I don't know if bleak's the right word, but it certainly could be better.
Oh, it just depends. So there's going to be an information disparity between what they see from, I think it comes down to Judge Culpepper, P.J. Mustipher, Aeneas Hawkins,
mm-hmm.
you know, that group of young guys, if they are very, very good behind the scenes, then mm-hmm. there's not a lot of need to panic
right.
for the Penn State staff. We just don't know any of that for sure. I also think that C.J. Thorpe is the next in line for the next starting job beyond this season. So, you know, a year behind the scenes, he does have the potential to be a dominant player if he can sort out and figure out how to pass block.
Yes.
But when it comes to strength, physicality, aggressive approach, you know, a lot size, a lot of the things that you need from an interior lineman, he's got it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, he certainly has all the makings of a guy that could thrive in an offensive line role. And look, he was very good in high school too, but you're right. The pass blocking seems like it'll be the biggest hurdle at this point in time.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking Penn State in spring. Recapping a couple of the news items from this past week, Rashid Walker, what his future holds at left or right tackle, Mike Miranda at right guard, and what they need to replace on the offensive line. I wanted to go through some of the things that we've heard and some of the breadcrumbs that we have from an information standpoint and figure out what you think is for real and what's not, because there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors this time of year from what James Franklin said. Like, he's going to say things with purpose, sometimes to motivate or encourage, or sometimes to call out and make it known and kind of leverage improvement from guys. We've seen that too.
Right.
The first thing I think the hot topic at the quarterback position, the picture has been painted for me anyway, that it's going to take quite a bit for Tommy Stevens not to be your starting quarterback for
Agreed.
Week one.
Yeah.
You think that's the case?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know how else to I just don't know how else you can look at it at this point. I mean, James Franklin's had the opportunity to call this like a true competition and not anoint anyone, you know, anything. And he's decided to do that with Tommy Stevens. So I think it obviously tells you a lot of what you need to know. I don't think there's any question about that. So ultimately what it comes down to is, you know, Penn State has a competition. I don't think there's any questioning that, but it seems like it's Tommy Stevens' job to lose, and Sean Clifford's going to have to be extraordinary, I think, to be able to win the job. Unless Tommy Stevens is hurt to start a summer camp, then everything goes out the window.
If that is something that proves to be a major issue, then that's the opening for Clifford. But if you think about it, it's not that crazy right now to have Tommy Stevens be your guy, because I think that's the case. And then you're still going to have Sean Clifford with 2 years of eligibility after that.
Right.
So I think that's the most stable route forward. And I think that's ultimately what's going to play out. How about Journey Brown in the backfield really being a real factor as it seems to be being portrayed right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think, what, 3 weeks ago we were both questioning the idea of Journey Brown being the guy that really takes a step forward, but there's no really ability to question. Now, he ripped off a couple of nice runs during practice that we saw last week, and I mean, he looks like he's finally put it all together. The speed was always there. The frame was always there. He had to add size, and he had to add the opportunity to take the next step forward and learn how to be a complete running back, and it seems like he's been able to cross that bridge at least so far.
He had some smooth edges around he had some rough edges to smooth out. That's how I wanted to put that.
Yeah.
You knew that he was productive in high school. It wasn't against elite competition. It wasn't in a hotbed of even in the state of Pennsylvania, it wasn't in a hotbed of recruiting. So he flew under the radar quite a bit. But the raw ability was there, and it just seems like, you know, one of the big variables. Size. I never really think size is going to be an issue. The way that Penn State molds guys and gets them ready and builds up areas where they need to be strengthened and makes guys faster and all, I don't think you can ever that you can always assume that Dwight Gault's going to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's earned that benefit of the doubt. So yeah. When a guy comes in that needs to add 10 pounds, okay, he's going to add 10 pounds. It's not going to take very long. For him, it was more about reading blocks and being patient and pass protection and
right. The
nuances of the position, making the leap from high school to here. I think one of the other sentiments that's out there, Micah Parsons, a monster year in his future. We saw him lead the team in tackles, impressive. Go sideline to sideline. I think the one thing, and I've been on the record saying this probably a bunch of times, maybe too many times, the next layer, I think, is to make plays that are disruptive, that put teams behind the chains.
Right.
Making tackle sideline to sideline is a hugely valuable thing, but Micah Parsons has the ability to wreck games, and I think that Penn State is going to put him in position to do that. So the idea of Micah Parsons not just being very good for a freshman,
right,
but being, you know, I don't know about all America good, but in that neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question he's been looked at as a guy really since the last third of the season, I think, that is a guy that actually can be a linebacker, actually knows what he's doing and is capable of reading things in the way a linebacker should, not the way a guy just more athletic than almost everybody on the field should. So you saw that transition take place. It was obviously a significant adjustment for him. And what I think it comes down to for his next step is just taking over, you know, a leadership role and playing with that mentality on the field of making sure guys are lined up right and all that. Look, you lose Nick Scott. Obviously, he was a guy that's capable of doing that. You lose some other guys. You're going to need some leaders to step up on that defense, and Parsons has a chance to be one of them, along with Cam Brown, Jan Johnson, and some others.
They all of a sudden have a deep group of very good linebackers. So that's good to see in the spring. We'll keep kind of monitoring the stories as they unfold. For now, we're taking a quick break. Brandon Pelter joins us in just a moment to talk Penn State wrestling.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.